Well, take your Bibles. I have more time than I normally have, so I'm going to tell you ahead of time. I did something that I don't normally do, haven't done for a lot of years. At 5 o'clock, my wife made me one of the cups of coffee, just a little bit lighter than hers, but it wasn't decaf. And then I started praying, Lord, I've got to get some counsel. My wife is on drugs because I feel like I'm floating around here now a little bit. So if I don't stop, just remember, it's not really me. It's that thick coffee there that I had this afternoon. I know why she goes down there every morning now and gets some energy from the coffee. So we're going to have a good time tonight. I'm going to preach my heart. I've got a message I prepared. Talk a little bit, share a little bit. I might as well, since Michael broke all the boxes, I might as well break mine too tonight and just have a good old-fashioned time. I want you to take your Bibles and I want you to turn with me to the book of Nehemiah, chapter number 4. Nehemiah chapter number 4. I'm going to read several verses and then we're going to spend a little time right here tonight. And you won't have to turn away from that. We're going to stick right here at Nehemiah chapter 4 for just a few moments as we finish up this conference once again that God has certainly blessed in a special way. Nehemiah chapter 4, beginning in verse number 7. But it came to pass that when Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabians and the Ammonites and the Ashdodites heard that the walls of Jerusalem were made up and that the breaches began to be stopped, then they were very wroth and conspired all of them together to come and to fight against Jerusalem and to hinder it. Nevertheless, we made our prayer unto God and set a watch against them day and night because of them. And Judah said, the strength of the bearers of burdens is decayed, and there is much rubbish, so that we are not able to build the wall. And our adversaries said, they shall not know, neither see, till we come in the midst among them and slay them and cause the work to cease. And it came to pass that when the Jews which dwelt by them came, they said unto us 10 times, for all places whence ye shall return unto us, they will be upon you. Therefore set I in the lower places behind the wall, and on the higher places, I even set the people after their families with their swords, their spears, and their bows. And I looked and rose up and said unto the nobles and to the rulers and to the rest of the people, be not ye afraid of them. Remember the Lord, which is great and terrible, and fight for your brethren, your sons and your daughters, your wives and your houses. And it came to pass when our enemies heard that it was known unto us, and God had brought their counsel to naught, that we returned all of us to the wall, every one unto his work. And it came to pass from that time forth, and the half of my servants wroth in the work, and the other half of them held both the spears and the shields, and the bows and the habergeons, and the rulers were behind all the house of Judah, they which build on the wall, and they that bear burdens, with those that laid it, every one with one of his hands wroth in the work, and with the other hand held a weapon. For the builders, every one had his sword girded by his side, and so build. And he that sounded the trumpet was by me. And I said unto the nobles and to the rulers and to the rest of the people, the work is great and large, and we are separated upon the wall, one far from another. In what place, therefore, ye hear the sound of the trumpet, resort ye thither unto us. Our God shall fight for us. So we labored in the work, and half of them held the spears from the rising of the morning till the stars appeared. Likewise, at the same time, said I unto the people, let every one with his servant lodge within Jerusalem, that in the night they may be a guard to us and labor on the day. So neither I, nor my brethren, nor my servants, nor the men of the guard which followed me, none of us put off our clothes, saving that everyone put them off for washing. Our Heavenly Father, we've certainly been challenged and encouraged from the preaching of the Word of God during this meeting. We thank you for the men, women, and young people who have come and joined those of us who believe that COBA is a mighty work of God. And I thank you for each one of them, and I thank you for what you've done, and I thank you for those who have participated, those who've given, this local church and this choir and these people who've sacrificed and made this conference what it's been. And I pray that you would take the challenge and the conviction and the burden that you've laid upon my heart to help me to convey it in a way that I believe in years to come will make a difference for the cause of Jesus Christ. It's not an unusual thing for me to be able to preach the last meeting of a COBA meeting. I've done that for many years. But never a time have I ever stood that I didn't need you to help me to say what you would have me to say. So I pray you'll take me, cleanse me of sin, empty me of self. Lord, fill me with your Spirit. Help me, I pray, to convey what I believe is so needed and so important for what we're involved in. We'll thank you and praise you for it, for we ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Thank you for standing. I love the book of Nehemiah. A number of years ago when we were building this building, I think a couple of times in the 30 years I pastored, I preached from Nehemiah verse by verse. There's so many principles about leadership. There's so many principles about building. There's so many things in Nehemiah that I think really applies and helps us to be able to understand that which we are involved in. Nehemiah and his people were involved in what I call a great task to be done for Almighty God. And by the way, whether we are establishing a church, whether there's a movement, whether we're trying to reach a community, reach a city, reach a town, it's a great task to be able to get it done for Almighty God. And we find Nehemiah and his people involved in this great task. As a matter of fact, what he was facing was the walls of Jerusalem, that great city of God, was in ruins, according to chapter number 1. Now, Nehemiah was there in a pretty comfortable position, the cupbearer of the king, but all of a sudden he heard about it. And when Nehemiah heard about the condition of the city of Jerusalem and those walls and ruins, the Bible tells us that he sat down and wept and mourned and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. As a matter of fact, he was so moved and so touched until it led him to get the king's permission and the blessings of the king and no longer to be a cupbearer. Went to Jerusalem, and for 3 days there, he pondered on that which God had laid upon his heart and got up and viewed the walls and viewed the city and what was going on. And the more he looked and the more he saw, And the more he felt that which caused him to weep and mourn and fast and pray intensified in his heart. But as he looked at the enormous task to be done, he realized and recognized something. He said, I can't do this by myself. It's going to take some work and the effort of these people somehow. I've got to get this burden out to them. And we've got to come together, cooperate, and get these walls built for God. So in chapter number 2, he shared with him that which God had laid upon his heart, and he said this, Let us build up the walls of Jerusalem that we be no more reproached. He said, let's do something about what we see. And he looked at those people and he shared the goodness of God and what God had done in his heart and how the king had blessed him and the king was supported him and how the burden had intensified in his heart. And he looked down at those folks and he says, let us build up the walls of Jerusalem so there won't be any reproach. Man, did he get a fantastic response. I mean, when he must have laid it, he must have shared it, he must have conveyed it in such a way that they understood and felt and saw and said, Nehemiah, we understand what is there. As a matter of fact, they said to him, let us. Now the people's talking. Let us rise up and build. All the enthusiasm and the excitement and the passion and the things that were going on, the people now felt and understood and joined in and became a part of that which Nehemiah had burning down in his soul. With all the cooperation and all that took place, we get over and find out that the wall was built, at least half of it was. And Nehemiah understood, as it said in chapter number 6, so built we the wall. The half thereof was built for the people, he said, had a mind to work. The idea, they had a heart for the things of God. And in spite of the condemnation and the ridicule and the contempt against them and the criticizing of them, the wall was built because the people had a mind to work. And after that part of the wall was done, this man of God, where the burden began, begin to look out at that group of people that said in chapter number 2, let us rise up and build. But he noticed something took place after half of the wall was done. The morale of the people began to decline. The excitement began to pass away. That which they said, Nehemiah, it's not just your responsibility. Let us rise up and build. And all of a sudden he finds himself leading a group of people where the morale began to decline. Notice if you would, in verse number 10, and Judah said, the strength of the bearers of the burden is decayed, and there is much rubbish, so that we are not able to build the wall. Judah said, look how look at how big this test is. Look at the ruins. Look at all that we're facing. Look at what we have to do. Don't you understand, Nehemiah? That's too much rubbish. We can't build up these walls. And then Nehemiah must have thought about something. When I heard about the condition of Jerusalem and the walls, I sat down and I wept and prayed and fasted and mourned, and God intensified my heart and led me out to lead them to build half of the wall. Now that the morale has declined, he said, I've got another responsibility. I'm going to bring back the enthusiasm. I've got to get the passion again, and the excitement again, and the stirring again. Because there's so much work to still do. The most disturbing thing to me about COVID is not criticism. We've had that since day one. It's not about a lack of money. We've never had that. It's not about fatigue. It's not about all the things we do. But the thing that's most disturbing in the last year is the decline in the morale of what I call the COBA people. Now, I'm going to give you an explanation of what I call a COBA team. COBA has always, since day one, been a team method. If we're going to higher ground, it's not going to be one man, one church, one people. It's going to be men, women, boys, and girls that are going to join hearts, join hands together with some enthusiasm to get this job done. COBA and the COBA movement is made up of men, women, boys, and girls who are enthusiastic about the cause. I don't mean being excited about something. Every preacher in here is excited about his work, his individual church. But I'm talking about enthusiasm about a cause. I've never had a problem in fundamental Christianity of not being accepted, respected, admired, and everything else we can put in it. And that includes my family. I could go to a place where they never had any black people and get accepted. As a matter of fact, I've walked in the churches in different places in the country and people get a little cold when they see you walk in, and I just mention the name Baldwin. And boy, we get admired and respected and accepted and all of that. So obviously, what we're involved in is not trying to get Baldwin accepted in fundamentalism. It's not even trying to get Baldwin family accepted in fundamentalism. It's trying to get men, women, boys, and girls from all walks of life that it's far beyond the Baldwin family. It's about doing a work for God. And we need a team with some enthusiasm to get it done. So here's what's coming out of the box. We're going to higher ground. Now you ought to write that down, put a little X by it, and might as well claim it as happening. I will say from the very beginning here, before I get into this, some of you are not going to make it. So how do you know that? I've been at this for 30-some years. We've lost a whole lot of enthusiasm about COBA from black preachers and supporting white preachers over the years. So I think the track record tells me if we can't get it going on this level, we're not going to get it going on the next level by everybody that's involved in it. But I'll tell you something, we'll never get it done until there's some enthusiasm about what we're trying to do. So let me give you some words I jotted down here about what's enthusiasm. Well, first of all, let me tell you about what the COBA team is. The COBA team is us black fellows who surrendered the call. All of you black folks here that are involved in reaching your own. And all our white friends like Dr. Calvin, Dr. Halsey, Dr. Sis, Dr. Clayton. I look at you as on the COBA team. And I mean, I think if we're going to go to the next level, we need enthusiasm by everybody on the COBA team. And that's not saying that these men are, obviously, we have them preach here every year, so the moment they're not interested in COBA, we change lineup. But I'm talking about putting together a group of people who are enthusiastic about one of the great calls this world has ever seen. Enthusiasm means to be inspired. It's a belief that what we're doing is of God. It's strong excitement about what we're doing. It's something that's inspiring zeal to get the job done. It's fervor and passion. I got up Wednesday morning, convicted, guilty. I don't know if you, every once in a while, I'll get up to go to my devotion, and God hits me, and I can't stop crying. I can't. And it's not one of those exciting kind of crying. It's one of those guilt, convicted kind of crying. And I got up and God said to me, you remember when you were riding up Braddock Road back in 1978? And when I burned your heart and put something in there and stirred you to do something? If you don't like the decline in the morale, then you stir it up. Then you bring it back and get it going again. Before I get into Nehemiah and show you how that enthusiasm works, I want to give the COBA team, and those of you who want to be on the COBA team, some reasons why you ought to join this. And I'm telling you from the very beginning, I'm telling you about joining something God has already told me to take it to the next level. So you might as well get used to me. Because unless Jesus comes back and he takes me home, I plan to be heading it up and trying to get it back where it needs to be. And I just want to give you just a few ideas, and you bear with me because Some of the things you may say is braggadocious, and I don't mean to do that. And anybody who knows me, that's not my style. But I'm going to tell you some real reasons over 36 years why we need to get some enthusiasm wherever we may be about COBRA. The first one is because of focus. I don't need to be stirred up to keep my focus on reaching Black America. I've never totally understood it all, but I've always known since July 16, 1978, that I'm going to be involved in it. I understand what it's all about. I probably have more experience in this subject than any preacher in the country today. I don't know as much about reaching Black people as some preachers, but I know a whole lot about reaching fundamental Black people. No preacher on this subject has sat and talk to more fundamental preachers about this than I have. You call any fundamental name today in fundamentalism, and I've had face-to-face contact with them about this subject. I've preached in almost every Bible college, with a few exceptions, in the country. All kinds of meetings on this particular subject. I've sat there, and the majority of things I've talked about, the congregation, the church I pastor have never heard about. But I've never lost my focus. We need to get involved of going to the next level because we have a focus that hasn't changed and will not change. A second reason we ought to get involved in this is because of my family. Now, I got saved in 1976. Michael was 8 years old, 7 or 8 years old, born in 69, 76. How many years ago? 7 years old. Pastor Kenny and Dee Dee weren't even born. My wife had no desire to be a pastor's wife. She had already told me, if you're going to be a good husband, I want to retire at 35. I want you to fly me to New York City for dinner and fly back home the same night. And she was serious. Until one day God gripped her heart and told her, I want you to give your whole life to supporting what I've called this man to do. And she has never wavered. Fundamentalism in the Black community needs a strong, spiritual, faithful example if we're going to go to higher ground. You look around this place, filled with Black women, wives, single Black women, our whole movement. And all of us who've been married in a length of time know that our wives have far more going to them than we have going for ourselves. I don't know of any human being in the world that has more faith that I know of than Jeanette. I don't know of any, and I'm talking about men and women, any person that I know that loves God any more than she does. And any person that I know that has any more wisdom, I don't claim. I pray and ask God to give me as much faith as she has, as much love for God as she has. Those things don't happen just to build a church. Women in fundamental movement in the Black community need an example. And when I surrendered in 1978, God, I gave my wife to the Lord. She gave her life to the Lord, and we haven't wavered on that. These boys, there's only one Michael Ball. One that I know of. There's only one Kenny Ball. And my daughter Dee Dee loved God. And she even has a husband who's got his P's mixed up. He's a police officer when he ought to be a preacher. And he loves God. Never have to make him go to church. Never have to work them, serve God. We need that in fundamentalism because we need a family structure. And God told me way back then, give your family to the Lord. Two of my children weren't even born. They were given to the Lord before they were ever born. And Michael, thank God, I didn't taint him too bad in the 7 years. Michael went to kindergarten, all white kindergarten, was 2 and a half. I mean, into a day, to a preschool, then to kindergarten, went to a public school, then went to FBT, went off to Bible college. All of his friends were white, didn't have any black friends at all, and nobody has an understanding of the need of black people any more than him. Come from God. That's given to the Lord. And I don't have to tell you about Pastor Kenny. Most of you in here know him. We ought to have some enthusiasm about COBRA that ought to make you want to get involved because of the focus, because of the family. Thirdly, you ought to do it because of our finances. If you haven't realized it yet, one of the greatest things that our guys struggle with today in building the church is finances. You don't build a fundamental black church overnight. And most of them today have not built a church up strong enough yet to even pay their families and their working jobs, and that's all fine. But if you haven't figured it out yet, you ought to get involved in something, because here's something that's being led by a church with a foundation that can help speed up our cause. Let me say something honestly to you. I don't need to preach to get a love offering to live. I have Social Security. Listen. When I got saved in 1976, I gave God all my finances. I gave God all the finances of my children. My son-in-law called me to ask me if he can spend money out of his own checking account or whether you need it for the church. We don't own anything. It's all of God. And I'd get involved in something that at least is demonstrated to be able to help our cause along financially. What about the foundation? There's not a Crossroads Baptist Church in every community. And our guys have struggled, and they've done well, and God has used them in a special way. But they haven't built a Crossroads Baptist Church. There's a foundation where people love our guys and stand behind our guys. I could stand here at any time, at any place, and brought up one of your names, and this church will stand behind you financially. That's not enough. How about friends? I don't have a lot of close friends, but I have more friends in the ministry than all of our fundamental black preachers in here put together. I have friends all over the world. And I'm simply telling you, God put all that together for a reason. What about our future? I walked down here and these little children that sang here will run there and grab me and say, I mean, they look at it as a hero of something for the future. What about fame? We are kind of known around fundamentalism. And you can go to places and you can mention Baldwin and Crossroads Baptist Church and people seem to know about it. You know what all of that is for? It's for the cause. If it were only to build Crossroads Baptist Church, we couldn't get the people in here. So now that I've let that out of the box, I want to challenge you about having the spirit of enthusiasm about COBRA. Let's get back to what we experienced in 1997. Let's get back to looking beyond our little situation. Let's get back and not letting circumstances break down the morale. Let's get back and realize it's more than about us. It's about a cause. And it's something that we all need to be involved in. I still remember Brother Clayton. Where's Brother Clayton? He's still here. You remember 1982? Brother Clayton and Dr. Roy Thompson, a friend of mine, invited me up to come to Cleveland. Preach. I preached with a well-known preacher there. He's not in the ministry anymore. If I mentioned his name, some people would know him. My church probably wouldn't. But a number of people mentioned, preached there. And people at Cleveland Baptist Church loved me. So Dr. Clayton comes up with this bright idea. We're going to get five fundamental black guys, and we're going to come up to Cleveland Baptist, and we're going to put on this two-day meeting here to do something in black America. And boy, he poured his heart into it. And Dr. Thompson poured their heart into it. And five of us, named four other guys, I won't call their names, we all showed up there. Well, I've been the year before. And so the people couldn't come to some of the day meetings. So they said, they talked to Dr. Clayton and Dr. Thompson and said, could you let Brother Baldwin preach one of the night sessions so that the people could hear. Well, the other four black guys found out about it, and they had a private meeting in one of the hotel rooms and decided the night I preached they were going to boycott it. I'll never forget coming down that mountain. We left there coming down Pennsylvania Turnpike that late that night, and God says, you know what? You can go back and reproduce your own. That'll have your philosophy, your belief, your commitment, and send them out. And we set out to build a team. That team can't have, the morale can't go down. It's got to be enthusiastic. Crossroads Baptist Church by itself can't reach black America. We can only pass on like Nehemiah did and shared the burden and hope that people will say, let us rise up and build. Let us do it. Let us get involved. Let us give. Let us be there. Let us support. And it can't be just black guys. It's got to be men like we have here that preach here. Like Calvert and Clayton and Sis and Halsey. But it can't be just preaching. They've got to be enthusiastic about it wherever they go. They've got to promote it. And you as an individual, you get a hold of something, you've got to promote it. If you travel like some of these young ladies and others have come from all over the country, when you go back, you got to promote it. You got to have some enthusiasm. We can't bring every black person in America to the Crossroads Baptist Church. It's getting them stirred up and fired up wherever they may be, where people are. And you can't do that unless there's enthusiasm. Now let me give you the outline, and we'll close up. Here's what happened when people ridiculed, when there's condemnation, when there's contempt, when there's criticism, when there are problems, whether it's in your community, wherever it may be, when COBRA fights what we fight all the time, it's always a fight. It's always a battle. It's always a struggle. But at the team, wherever you may be, you're a little part of the team. And every time we add a person to the team, and every time we add a person here, we're simply building something with some enthusiasm to stir people to get involved. So here's what happens when there's this spirit of enthusiasm in a movement. In verse number 7, Nehemiah and his people faced a lot. They faced the attacks. Sanballat and Tobiah and all the others that were attacking. But what did he do to get the people enthusiastic again? He said in verse number 9, nevertheless, we made our prayer under our God. The very first thing we have to do when we have enthusiasm, when you're in that little town or you're in that little community, and when there's a problem and when there's things going on, criticism, we can focus on prayer. You may never have a building like Crossroads, never have money, never have a choir, but one thing you have that I have and everybody else, you can pray. One thing we know as black people, we may not know how to plan, we may not understand time, we may not understand a lot of things, but we know how to pray. Man, I was praying before I ever got saved. The prayers weren't heard, but can you imagine having that kind of prayer? There's a time we never had anything unless our parents got down and prayed and begged God. We ought to carry that into the COBRA movement. And when it comes, we ought to understand, I don't have any money. I don't have a big choir. I don't have a building, but I've got a closet. And by the way, you ought to be praying on a regular basis for the cause of COBRA. You ought to be praying for Crossroads Baptist Church. You ought to be praying. I ought to have every COBRA pastor in this country ought to be praying for that building to be finished. You may not have any money, but you got a closet. Focus on prayer. Take your problems to the closet. Get a hold of Almighty God. And then we see in verses 10 through 12, face the problems. They had disappointments so that we are not able to build the wall. So what? Face it when people don't see what you see. Pastor, I believe one of the greatest churches in all the world. When we built this building, I drew up a picture of it and told them how big it was going to be. And still, people didn't understand it until we dug the hole, brought them down, and let them go down in it. That will always happen when you're in the work of God, but keep on doing it. Face the problems. Face the discouragement. They were talking the talk of the enemy over and over again. Keep on going with enthusiasm. Be excited. When we started the Crossroads Baptist Church, meeting in a banquet room there at the Howard Inn, I thought it was the greatest church in the world. We get there on Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night. Those little 30 people who drove all the way to Virginia, we had church with excitement. Thirdly, find your purpose. Verse 13, therefore set I in the lower places behind the wall and on the higher places. I even set the people after their families with their swords, their spears, and their bows. Let me tell you something. Find your purpose for why you are involved in the work of God. Be committed to the cause. You know what he did? He found on the wall where people were vulnerable. And put somebody there to take care of that situation. Check out when you're working with God where you're vulnerable. I mean, if it's a family, plug it up. If it's finances, plug it up. Realize that you're not involved in your little ministry. You're involved in a cause. Find your purpose. Get committed to the cause. He rebuked them and told them, be not afraid of them. He said, remember the Lord. Fight for your brethren. Fight for your kids. Fight for your home. Fight for your church. Fight for the cause. Put your confidence in Christ. And God had brought their counsel to naught. Something didn't work. Change your strategy. Good night, if black America is going to be reached, you need a four-fold kind of an enthusiasm to get it done. You need in your church workers, warriors, weapons, and watchers. Here's a weapon. Can't build a church without workers. Always be watching. Watch out who's trying to get you. Who's trying to destroy you. Who's trying to defeat your purpose. Enthusiasm of people that have faith in God's power. Verse 19, he reminded them something. The work is great and large. It's overwhelming from time to time. I mean, people all the time, they talk about the churches we've been involved in, these 27, 28 churches, and not even counting the others that have been started. And look at that. It's so small compared to how large the work is. I mean, we got to understand, but we understand God knows how large it is. But we've got to understand it's God's work that we're involved in. And we ought to have some enthusiasm. And then lastly, finish the project. You've been called to do something for the cause, finish it. Finish it. God never asked any person who's involved in this movement to be like anybody else, but you got a little patch. You pull the weeds out of it. And you work it. And you put your whole heart and your effort in. And the day you get selfish about it, you got to ask God to forgive you. If God can take a man and show him a cause without an example, what's your excuse for being in the cause when you have an example? Let me God help us to get some enthusiasm. We're going to higher ground. We're going to the next level. Some of you won't make it. That's okay. We'll take the children there.
That's fun.
We'll take the younger crowd. Do you know we have young, fundamental black people all around this country that are praying and asking God if they could move down here and be a part of the Crossroads Advocate? Uh-huh. I'm 66 now. I know I don't live it. I've got a wonderful family. I've got Medicare. Backed up by AARP. And a prescription drug program by Aetna. So I'm okay. I got my third, and I got Aflac too. I forgot about that. They tell me I may never have to spend another dime for any medical. I can go into CVS and do like I used to get my parents and get me a prescription, but it may only cost me 50 cents, a dollar. Every second Wednesday, I get direct deposit on my Social Security check. And on top of that, I've got a church that's committed to pay my salary for life. And if anything acts up, my son is the pastor, so he's going to make sure they can do that. So if I'm dumb enough, and I am, to devote the rest of my life to help you have some enthusiasm about something you ought to have because you've been saved by the grace of God, then the least you can do is get behind
me. Amen. Amen. That's good.
And use your talent. Use your time. Because we're going to higher ground. We're going to go to the next level. I thank God for every friend. I thank God for every COBRA pastor. I thank God for every child, every person that's a part of it. But all we need is enthusiasm. And by the way, there's some things we have better gifts and talent on this next group than we had on the first group. Most of the first group, we had the deprogram. You know how long it took got some of Pine Bluff out of him? Before he could even send him back, we had to beat some of it out of him. You heard a man talk about Arkansas? That guy sat here, he was the biggest mess that ever came north from Arkansas, right? Where is he? He was wild. He was so wild, the only place we let him preach is the jail. And wore me out. I mean, Saturday after Saturday, talking after talking and begging after begging and showing after showing and all of this and all of that and all of that. Just to get them out there to get it started. I never told them, but I knew just about how far all of them were going to go. Now, he knows that. But you weren't out there to build a crossroads. You weren't out there to build the largest ministry. You were out there to help this dumb preacher who's going around all of this country telling everybody that we could reproduce ourselves. And you were a reproduction of something. And we need to get to the point that we have enough enthusiasm to say, I'm part of a cause. And I'll do my little bit.
Amen.
And every time you mess up, you set us back.
Yeah. That's right.
And some of you have set us back because of a morale decline.
Yeah.
You made people wonder if it's possible. Well, I done told the Lord, I've confessed all about, I've always weighed about, did I use my time properly all these 34 years? One thing is for certain, I am on fire. I enjoy preaching now more than any time in the world. I'm excited. I don't have to spend all day Saturday preparing messages all day now. That's his job. I've got more time, and by the way, I got an excuse not to travel all the time because my wife says she's not going with me. And if she doesn't go with me, I'm not going. I got Social Security, so I don't need a love offer. All I need, and God knows my heart, some black folks like you and some fundamental friends like we have. We need a lot more of them. There's a whole lot of people that got behind us in 97 that you can't even find them today. We've only had one, what I consider, great supporter in all of the years that we had COVID financially. Most of the money that has come from COVID that everybody has said, we got all these hundreds of thousands of dollars coming in, and we've never had more than maybe 100,000 come in a whole year, and probably 75% of that came from us. It's sad. It's sad that we can't get fundamentalism, enthusiastic for this cause, and we can't get those of us who used to be enthusiastic to stay that way. May God help us to understand the wall's not even half built. I'm not so sure we even cut all the trees out of the way yet. We're not even close to ready to pave the road. It won't be until there's some enthusiasm to take us to higher ground. Our Father, we